Good evening and welcome to the Right View Radio Show. This is your host, Jumana, with another week of compelling news and my opinionated opinion. Again, this is your host, Jumana. Let's take a quick commercial break and we will start shortly. Stay tuned.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We are heartfelt.
We speak from the heart.
We are open.
We don't hold back.
We are positivity,
prosperity,
and preparation.
We're endeavoring to empower.
We are hope.
So get off your aspirations and join us on Hope Radio with Cece
and Trevor, Tuesdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific.
Join the
crew.
Thank you everyone for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. Can you believe there are stores that would rather have no customers than to allow someone shop without a vaccine? I went into a store recently to buy a chaise longue. The gene therapy bouncer said, "I cannot sell you this unless you show me your vaccine passport." Like he is the only store selling furniture. I can go on OfferUp and just buy one from a regular person for half price. He said he would rather have no customers than to sell me any furniture without my online passport. He said that everyone needs to know everyone's health records now. So I asked him, "When was the last time you took Viagra? Did you ever have an irregular period? Whenever someone gets smoked, they go broke." I talked to the manager. He told me it is not his fault. He said they might have...
All right, and welcome back to the Right View Radio Show. This is your host, Jumana. Let's start with a prayer. Let's start with Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. That's my favorite psalm. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I have no fear. No fear from anybody or anyone or anything anymore. I don't know if it's because I am numb from all the atrocities that we are facing every day as individuals, and as collective as well, or is it because I am, the Lord is with me, and I am fearless? I could care less who is standing in front of me. If you are standing in my way, I will run you over. I will remove you from my path. I don't care what you are or who you are or what you do or anything. It does not matter to me anymore. And I am not afraid of police. If anything, I started resenting police force recently because of what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, that the police so far have been dragging parents out of the board meeting, the school board meeting. They're dragging parents. They are actually... became like I predicted they would become, the arm of the tyrants. Not only school board members are have asked Biden to use the Patriot Act against them. Now the police is actively dragging parents who speak out against CRT and sex ed in schools. So the police are okay with you not having the right to speak about your tax-funded public schools. That's why I'm telling you, parents, pull those children out. If you cannot have an opinion, a majority opinion for that, regarding your kids' education, what are you waiting for leaving them in these indoctrination camps? They are run by communists. They do not want the best for your child, because if they cared, they would care about your opinion as a parent when it comes to their education. But they don't give a hoot. So why are you leaving your children in schools? What benefit is it for them? Put it on a scale. What are they really learning in school? Are they becoming professional readers, mathematicians? What kind of knowledge are they acquiring in public schools? Zip, nada, might as well stay home under your supervision. Might as well will have your own ethics and morale. Fuck education is going to be the education that you're going to be receiving from public schools. Your child is better off being illiterate than to be indoctrinated by commies. Pull your kids out while you still can. Because if they do activate the Patriot Act, which it seems they did already, because I've seen hundreds of videos on TikTok of parents being dragged out by police force out of the meetings. I mean, and you would stop and question, seriously, you, the police, are going to act like that towards the parents? What's wrong with you? Don't you have children of your own? Guess what? The SS soldiers have the same fucking excuse. I got family to feed. You know, I've said the F word today so much. Seriously, it's rolling out of my tongue. Sorry, if I will try to curb that word today. But, of course, as everybody else, I encountered another sheep at the bank today who immediately attacked me. And I did not approach her window. She's sitting behind bulletproof plexiglass, whatever, wearing a mask herself. I'm the only one in the lobby. Right when I walked in, I walked straight to the ATM. You know, the ATM inside, you can pull out more money than what you can pull out from the ATM outside. So I'm putting out money to pay the guys, my employees. And immediately she's like, ma'am, you need a mask. Ma'am, you need a mask. I was like, no, I'm okay. Just mind your own business. And I put the card in the ATM, and I'm typing my PIN number, and she runs out of behind the counter down to the lobby with a box full of masks. And she grabs one with her filthy hands, because you know how clean money is, right? She's trying to hand it to me. And I looked at her, and I said, back away from me. Back now is away from me. 6 feet, back up. Ma'am, you know, and then one customer walks in, and he's, of course, another sheep wearing a mask. He looks at me, and he's like, you're being an asshole. Either wear a mask or leave. I turned my head to him, and I gave him my middle finger, and I cursed at him. Then, of course, I pulled out the money. The ATM is counting my bills, and she did not shut up the whole time. And all I could say to her is, back the F away from me. Or call the police. Oh, I don't want to call the police, but ma'am, I care about my customer's health and my health. And I no longer have the will nor the desire to explain to her why she is a retard. I do not. I completely ran out of patience. And I grabbed the money, and I walked away. And on my way out, she says to me, don't ever come back here. I turned my back, and I said to her, go fuck yourself. And she said, I will, ma'am, tonight. I kid you not. What do you do with retards? I mean, why? Why should I even bother? Seriously. I'm not going to, like, explain to her. I'm not. It's been over a year and a half. I have no patience, nor the will or desire to explain to her why she is retarded. I can't play this game anymore. I was unable to play it before, But I had a little bit of patience. I would try to, like, explain to them, why are you being mind-washed and propagated? But it looks like she's a new employee and she wants to flex her muscles on other customers. Well, guess what? You mess with the wrong person, because I do not tolerate, nor do I allow anybody to cross me in any way, shape, or form. I no longer, yeah, used to be a pushover. From over like 5 years, I've stopped completely. I've changed because I've been through so much in my life that I am at the point where if you mess with me, you will bear the consequences. Know that you are messing with a person who does not give a shit anymore. I do not. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about your position, your rank, nothing. And I am unafraid, and I am ready to fight till death. I am no longer willing to put up with any kind of bullshit from anybody, no matter who they are. It is over. The time to be nice to people, especially to the sheeple, is over. We give you a year and a half to open your damn eyes and see what's going on. And if you haven't yet, I cannot wait till you start dropping like flies. And I'm going to be laughing my way back to the bank. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And I'm talking here about differences of treatment with people between Orange County and LA County. Because in Orange County, which is the Republican majority, nobody tells you to put on a mask anymore. But you come to LA County, and the indoctrination is unbelievable. And I'm talking a 20-minute drive for me. And we're talking differences between state and state, between a city and a city. It is bunkers. It's bunkers. Our media has destroyed the fabric of society. And I'm not talking about social media, even though there is some truth to that. But our media, the TV stations that are spewing propaganda 24/7, our stupid health so-called authorities are pieces of shit. They destroyed everybody's morale. Nobody has critical thinking. Everybody's a walking zombie. Everybody's trying to flex muscles on the other. And it's just, it's disgusting. Living in a society is no longer for it anymore. I do not want to go out. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to see people. Nothing. I lost my desire to go travel the world. I lost my desire to go see places or meet new people. There's no longer. I no longer care. I really no longer care about the world. My home is with my Father up in heaven. And I am willing to go today if God would take me. I have no will or desire to stay on earth. Other than my children, they are the only reason why I'm still here. Because it's not fun anymore being on this earth, especially seeing what's happening, not just in the U.S., but around the world, politically, socially, economically. I want to take advantage of this episode to warn people about what's coming. It is time for you to prep for the worst, because it is here. I'm not going to say it's coming. It is here. You need to buy long-lasting food. If you have a pen and a paper, grab a pen and a paper, because I'm going to give you important information that you need to write down so you do not forget. Number one, go this weekend and buy as much as you can buy of canned, frozen food, any food that lasts you a long time. When I say that, you count how many members you have in your household, and you buy 6 months' worth of food, storable food, that is enough for the people in your household. Number two, water. Stock up on water or buy the filtered water, like the Breda ones. Any source that could, yeah, you could be using filtered water for drinking and for cooking. Number three, medications. Any medications that you need, especially the people that are on prescribed medications, go to your doctor and demand he writes you extra 3 months of your medications for you and for your family members. Get first aid kits. Get bandages, antibiotics, whatever you can get it. If you haven't purchased a gun yet, go get one. And preferably, if you get one, that will not be registered in the system. I have a call. Let's take a call. 111, you are on the air. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you, sweetie?
I have a long drive, and so I just thought I would call in and listen.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. No problem. So you want me to put you on hold? You can hear me through the call?
Either way, I can mute on my end, and if I have something, I can unmute.
Beautiful.
Way.
Sounds good. So I'm telling people how to prep for what's coming. So, and I'm starting with the list. First things, we need to get enough supplies for every single member in your household for at least 3 months. You need to get water, a filter that you could use, a reusable filter, and you need to get a protection. A gun, a handgun, a shotgun, and load up on ammo. That's like the third point. Fourth point, you need to go to your local farmers and ranchers and see if you can make a deal with those people to get your food from them directly, because the store shelves will become empty. And you do not want to be running head like a headless chicken trying to look for food, because it will not be available. So you need to go directly to the source, find local farmers and ranchers, and get your meat and your fruits and vegetables from them directly. Or you can plant your own if you have the time and the skill to do so. Then you need to find a way to communicate with others other than social media. Basically, if you can put your hands on an old cell phone, not a smartphone, an old cell phone, go and get one. You can find them in repair places. You can find them sometimes online, on eBay. The old cell phones, where you can just put your SIM card in there and you will get a signal to make a phone call or send a text message. It's not, you cannot connect to the internet on that phone. You need one of those. Also, get a generator. You need the ones that have propane, okay, and like more than one source. So you can either put a propane in it or gasoline. I saw some that have also solar, but I'm not sure how good that works, but get your hands on a generator. Then, you need to talk to your neighbors. You need to get to know your neighbors. When I'm talking neighbors, you need neighborhood protection. Because once the store shelves are empty and people start running in the streets looking for supplies, you bet they will be coming to your door. They will try to break in. And you need to organize with your neighborhood to form either a neighborhood watch or an alliance with like-minded people so you can protect each other. So one can keep an eye out on your house when you are not there. So something happens, you know there's going to be people looking for, you know, after your children or after your wife and children or anything. They have information for you. They have protection for you. They will have your back. Very, very important. And I'm talking, you can have alliances with your friends and whatever, but no. The people the closest to you physically are going to be very important in your and your family survival. Make plans with your neighbors. Talk to them. Tell them what's up. Open their eyes. And you don't have to agree on the same views politically, but you can agree on that what we're seeing and what was happening, that something isn't right. If you can have that civil conversation with your neighbor, explain to them with respect and with logic that we need, I will have your back, you will have mine. And you do that with at least 3 or 4 of your neighbors. You cannot, of course, store a lot of gas. It's not safe, like benzene or petrol. It's very dangerous. But you can have a lot of propane in your house, which is kind of safe. Also, exit plan. You need an exit plan. If, like I'm hearing what's happening in New York, now that they fired a lot of nurses and doctors, and now these facilities are short on medical staff, they are going to bring in the National Guard to fill in those positions. So if you think that the National Guard will only be used to fill in those positions only, you're mistaken. Those National Guards will also have checkpoints. They will start restricting your movement throughout the city and to exit from the state. So if they're going to start saying, where's your vaccine passport every time you're going to leave your house, you're going to have a hard time, especially if they start coming knocking door to door to give you the jab, whether you like it or not. So you need an exit plan. By that, you discuss with other family members, other like-minded people, you to choose a route, a safe sideways route, not through major highways or major streets, a way that you can first navigate the streets without having a cell phone, of course, that has a signal, because you don't want to be, you don't want to be trapped. And you need also a place outside of the city where you can either hang out there, you can stay there for a couple of days, pick a location. And other people will meet you there too. So, and you have, you know, the people that you trust are with you in that safe location. You also need to purchase a Faraday bag so you can block cell phone signals in case you have you could not find a older phone and you're going to use that cell phone, the smartphone. You can buy a Faraday bag. I don't think they are expensive. And you can just throw the cell phones in there and you can hit the road without being tracked. Do not use web browsers without VPN. They are tracking everything. And I've actually, last weekend, I purchased an audiobook. And it's written by Patrick Wood. He is the smartest person I've heard him. Like, and I've listened to a lot of audiobooks. I don't have time to read, but I do have the Audible running 24/7. And I've listened to almost a book every 2-3 days. But this book stood out. It's about what's happening today. He is so smart. He's talking about you need to quit posting on social media. It is over. The time that you had on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, trying to wake people up to what's going on, they already are censoring you anyways, but here's the thing. They are also accumulating all the data on you, and you need to be careful about what you post right now. Either close all of your social media accounts and take a step back, or find a way to communicate with others on social media without being tracked. You have to start playing in the shadows. The spotlight is shining on everybody, especially if you are a conservative or Republican. So now it's time to play smart. You have to be tactical. You got to organize in the shadows. So no more. No more opinions on social media. Try to either post in a language that does not show bias, or don't post at all, or close the account completely. And here's the thing. So this author, he made a website completely safe from the eyes of the government and from the eyes of tech companies. And this website is completely secure, does not keep your messages after you send them. And this website is meant for people like me and you, the patriots, to communicate through it without fear. So how do you know it's not being infiltrated by others? Well, guess what? When you go to sign up to that account, open an account with on his site, they will vet you before they accept you into their account. And I thought that was wonderful. I will leave a link under in the comment section under this tonight's show, so you can go. I do not want to mention the site by name on the air because I want to tell the people that I about it, because we don't want to have time to vet people that are going to be insidious or cause problems or destroy this chance of us having a secure site to communicate. And I am proud of him and how he actually thought about that, because he sees what's happening on social media and he understands what are they doing. The danger of anything, they can hold, they're digging things up about you from years and years ago and using it against you. They could get you fired from your job. They could get you in trouble for something that you said long time ago and that was meant nothing back then. And today, they're twisting things to make it so big and so atrocious that they will literally destroy your life. These commies have no morals, no ethics. They will go after you, and they have no problem doing it to anybody, no matter who they are. And another thing, I also I finished that book, and I got another book called They Don't Dare to Call It a Conspiracy Theory. And they don't dare to call it a conspiracy. That book is also great. Why? Because he says everything that you can think of that's happening, people right away would label you, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you're just nut job. Oh, you're crazy. Well, guess what? Nothing in the world that happens has not been a conspiracy between two or more people. The wars, the changes in policies, who's going to run for elections, who's going to be paid, who's going to, it's all conspiracies. And it's silly that the media thinks that, oh, everything that you people talk about, oh, it's just stupid conspiracy theory, oh, you're just a tinfoil hat wearing a nut job. No, it's not. You're not. You're actually realizing, you're seeing the connection, because there is no coincidence. It's all planned events. It's all conspiracies between people that have shitload of money and rogue politicians and corrupt media. And they all just want to take all of your rights, all of your freedoms, and all of your property and all of your money. And they are after your children as well. They will take your children away from you. They don't have a problem with that. So what are they doing right now? What are we seeing? They're going to cut the shipping and supply lines. It's obvious right now. People are noticing that it's happening. Please do not forget this weekend. Make it a, put it on your agenda that you're going to go and get supplies for your family and store it, okay? Also, have in your house, teach your children which room is to use as a safe place to hide in. Teach them to use the guns if you can. If you have one, teach them how to safely handle a firearm. Teach them who to call and what to do in case somebody breaks in, and in case, you know, what to say. You have to be teaching them this. There's no longer time to waste to prep and be prepared. Believe me, if you're not prepared, you're going to regret it very soon. I've heard a lot of people already talking about seeing black lights in the streets where the regular street lights are, so the bulbs have been changed into a black light. And I've seen some people showing like videos on TikTok of street lights with just like black lights. But I've also spoken to a couple of friends this weekend, and they told me here in Southern California, they've been going around the cities, they're like distributing brochures or whatever. He told me they've seen so many street lights that have moved to a black light. So I wonder what that's all about. A lot of people are assuming this is just to pinpoint who is vaccinated or not, I guess because they have the Lucifer rays, which is the glowing part they took from insects, and they put it in the vaccine. So that's known. And so that Lucifer rays makes you glow under black light. And I guess there's people that are showing videos of them pointing the black light at the site of injection, and it's glowing. So that could be a part of it. It could be something psychological as well. We don't really know if it has a different frequency or the infrared or whatever kind of light wave. Black light has an effect on people's psychology or people's health. I don't trust the government from here to there. I don't trust anything they do. I don't trust the police. I don't trust anybody other than myself and the people that I've known now for over a year and a half that woke up to this crap immediately because they know what's going on. And the people that know what's going on is the people I trust because they see what I see. And the people that don't see, surprisingly, they want your life destroyed. Isn't that weird how extreme the polarization is? A friend of mine had on a, I think, Friday in Huntington Beach, she's carrying no vaccine mandate sign. And she was standing there like by herself on the pier, and the high school was dismissed, and the kids started coming out of the high school. And to her surprise, the goth kids, the kids that back in the day used to be the rebellion ones, they hate the system, they always rebelled against everybody, they wanted to look different, they wanted to stand out. Now, they bullied her while she was standing with her sign. They were walking, bumping into her, they cursed at her, they're calling her names. She was so in shock, not from their actions, but from what happened to the goth kids? Why are they now all about compliance? What? That shocked her the most. And she was telling them, what's wrong with you? Like, you guys used to be against the system. You used to be not, you never listened, you never, now you, why, what's wrong with you? Like, even that has changed. So she was really, really shocked and upset about that. And I felt for her because she was there all by herself. And I told her, like, next time, always make sure that you don't go alone because people lost all their empathy. They lost their respect to others, to older people. They don't care anymore. They don't care. They would love bullying you. So be careful when you're out there. Like I said, today, my confrontation at the bank, it was unnecessary for me to do that because I could have just went in a branch in Orange County instead of coming here to LA County. But I've realized that even the people, not just the employees, the customers, the other customers, you would think one of them would have your back, right? But none of them did. So you are going to be put in situations where you're the only one standing. Everybody else is going to be against you. So pick your battles. That's what I would give advice today. Pick your battles and be smart about your decisions when where to go and who to deal with. So for sure, 100%, I will never go back to any bank inside of LA County. Definitely never again. And I know they're asking now people for vaccine passports or whatever. So it's completely like it's ridiculous. The laws, how it changes between city and city and between a state and a state. It's all bunkers. It's a mishmash of just ridiculousness and nonsense. And it hurts me to see people following nonsense blindly. It does. It really hurts. I really keep, like, I have this urge in me to wake people up, but I no longer have the patience nor the desire to do so. But I do feel for them. And I hope they just somehow wake up and snap out of it because majority are zombies. And so it will be tough in the coming days and months. Today, I saw a video from Australia. He's an activist, obviously. He has been like a thorn in the Australian government's side, because he just like the Canadian guy, right? So you know the same people that stand out because they've been fighting this bullshit from day one. And they dragged him. The police came and arrested him today with a bunch of bullshit accusations, of course. And they dragged him and they took him to jail and in front of his wife. So that's why I keep saying the police are acting without, they're just following orders blindly. They're not acting like this is an unlawful order or this is immoral order. No, they're just following orders, and that's where the danger lurks. When you have somebody pointing a gun in your head, you're going to have to go with them. And God knows when they will allow you to use a phone call to call a lawyer or to call your family, because these people are acting under the Emergency Act. The Emergency Act completely cancels your constitutional rights. Completely. You have nothing to fall on. Just like here, they're trying to use the Patriot Act against parents. They're using the same thing all over the world. Remember, this whole plan, every single country is going in lockstep with the protocols being put in place that have been put in place from a long time ago. So just be careful. Another thing, money. What are you going to do about money? Well, we all know this is the financial situation in the U.S. is not sustainable, especially if they're going to print another $3 or $6 trillion. It doesn't matter to them. These people don't care. So cash would be better than money in the bank. I will tell you that much. It will still retain some value, some, in case the markets crash. But invest with some, I would say with some cryptocurrency, and invest in physical gold and silver. Don't leave money in the bank, because once they if they decide to shut off their power, you're not going to have access to an ATM. Or if the internet goes down, like how what happened today with that with Facebook, Bank of America was down at the same time, and people could not do any transactions with Bank of America. So what's going to benefit you? Money in the bank. Don't leave a lot of money in the bank. Just pay whatever you need to pay, or leave money for to cover the bills, and then just take the rest out. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Right View Radio Show.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, government overreach, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please check out my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook, and as always, like and follow it. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the Right View Radio Show. This is your host, Jumana. You can call in with your, to hear, I want to hear from you, your opinion on what's going on, how you are prepping. The phone number is 319-527-6208. Again, it's 319-527-6208. Call in whenever you are ready. So a while ago, I've got my hands on Klaus Schwab's book, The Great Reset, COVID-19. I believe he had it written 2 months into the alleged pandemic. So how did he manage to gather all of this information and write a book right away? You would wonder that, right? I mean, I think it was declared a pandemic in March of 2020. And he had, in April, published this book. These people, they already have planned this from a while ago. And I don't know how people still don't see it. But I'm going to read for you from his book. So, okay, so he had written it, and so it was published in July. So he wrote it, started writing immediately, and published it in July. So let me read you the introduction what he wrote. Since it made its entry on the world stage, COVID-19 has dramatically torn up the existing script of how to govern countries, live with others, and take part in the global economy. Written by the World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab and monthly barometer author Thierry Marlet, COVID-19, the Great Reset, considers its far-reaching and dramatic implications on tomorrow's world. This book's main objective is to help you understand what's coming in a multitude of domains. Published in July 2020, in the midst of the crisis, and when further waves of infection may still arise, it is a hybrid between a contemporary essay and an academic snapshot of a crucial moment in history. It includes theory and practical examples, but it is chiefly explanatory, containing many conjectures and ideas about what the post-pandemic world might and perhaps should look like. The book has three main chapters offering a panoramic overview of the future landscape. The first assesses what is the impact of the pandemic will be on the five key macro categories, the economics, societal, geopolitical, environmental, and technological factors. The second considers the effects of the micro terms on specific industries and companies. The third hypothesizes about the nature of the possible consequences at the individual level. See, that's the goal, is control over every single living human being on Earth. And I want to skip. I've read the first, I would say, 20 pages of it. One thing caught my eye, which is how they refer to the world with terms like ACBC in terms of before Jesus and after Jesus. ACBC to them is before COVID and after COVID. I mean, the mocking. They are mocking God. These people are satanic to the core. Their agenda is satanic. Even if you think about it from a point of view of just being a power-hungry psychopath, if you truly follow the route and connect the dots, you will eventually reach the point, even if you're an atheist, that this is so evil and it comes from an evil place. We are in a spiritual war, whether you believe it or not. These people, they might not show you that they are believers in God, but they definitely believe in the devil. They definitely are following his orders because these revelations is unfolding in front of our eyes, and people are nervous. Many people, especially Christians, are aware of what's going on. They were anticipating rejection from conservatives and Christians across the world, but they did not know how persistent we would be in our refusal because, according to Jen Psaki, they did not anticipate the vehement rejection of the vaccine, especially when it came from a populist president like President Trump that was handed to him to present to us, and we still rejected it. That was surprising to them, according to her. And I'm glad that we are unpredictable to these globalist scumbags because we do not want anybody to control us, no matter what. We obey one God, and that's God Almighty up in heaven. We don't obey no man, especially no tyrannical order that's coming from anyone. And I just feel bad for how the nurses being treated right now, the doctors and the nurses. They went from heroes to zero overnight. That's kind of heartbreaking. A lot of them are, they have to feed their families again, so they are under coercion and you know, being forced to lose their livelihoods, to lose their jobs. They're taking it, unfortunately. And I keep telling whoever I run into, just keep resisting, keep fighting. Make your employer responsible for any side effects you may face in writing. Because someone has to be responsible for any health problems that occur after you take the job, if you're going to end up taking it, which I advise you not to. I will plead with you not to take it, no matter how hard things might get. We're here for each other. The people that are not willing to put up with this tyranny, we will help each other out. Reach out to other like-minded people. I mean, at this point, there is no point in storing treasures on Earth, because they're planning on not returning to normal. They meant it when they said the new normal. They're not going to let you go back and live your life like before, because the agenda, the UN agenda, extends to 2030. So they want to try to take as many people out as possible. So there's no point for you right now to be investing in like a new home, a boat. Keep that on the back of your agenda. What's most important right now is your survival, you and your immediate family members. Concentrate on that. Focus, plan, teach your kids, include them in the planning process, and to explain to them what's going on. Believe me, you might think, oh, I don't want to scare my kids. I don't want to sound like a fear monger. There is no time to waste for you to explain why this is not. Things are not going well. And you know, like the oil spill that happened in Orange County here in by the beach, this is the blame on the oil company instead of that. One of the ships that's been docked there for months and months on end drops its anchor on the pipe and it burst. These ships should not be anchored for more than a week. There's hundreds and hundreds of ships just lining up, you know, anchored in the ocean. Why are they not being unloaded? What's the holdup? I've never seen this in my life, and this is happening at every port around the world. And if you think that the Suez Canal ship that blocked the Suez Canal, that was an accident, that never happened in history. How come it happens right now? They are deliberately severing the supply lines. They are deliberately telling farmers to destroy their crops. They are deliberately forcing people to leave their jobs by the vaccine mandate. And not only that, recently I've heard that there's patients that had like kidney transplants and they denied her. So you're going to get denied medical procedures, sometimes necessary, sometimes emergency, because you didn't take the job. So talk to a doctor that is willing to come to you, to your house, in case you need a doctor, that you would pay him under the table cash, that he's willing to travel to come to you as well. So find a doctor, a family doctor that is willing to do that. And you will find there's plenty out there. So if I will start, like, you know, in the next couple of shows, I will start giving name doctors that are willing to come to you off the books and help you with whatever you need. Because even back home in Jordan, my brother told me yesterday that if you get in a car accident over there and they take you to the ER, they would not admit you because you're not vaccinated. And their health insurance plans are being dropped. So they will drop you from your health coverage if you're not vaccinated. And it's coming here. They're doing it here a little bit slower, but even countries like the third world countries are ahead of us in the fulfillment of this agenda. And it's not looking good, my friends. It is not looking good. The option to use a PCR or get tested if you don't want to get jabbed has been removed in these countries. Canada, I think the day before yesterday, their asshole premier came out and said no, the testing is no longer an option. And then let's say you want to travel and you purchase a ticket, your vaccine number will appear on your ticket. So the, you know, the border agents and the or the TSA will not have to deal with you and argue with you while you are trying to board a plane. That your just vaccination number will be present right there on your ticket. So that's another thing, and that's going to be coming everywhere. And, you know, like, who would vote for that guy again? I cannot believe he is in as a prime minister again. You see, this is another thing. You cannot trust the system because there is no legit elections anymore. There isn't. And you cannot recall them anymore. Like Gavin Newsom, even though he got so many recall votes for Elder, the recall itself has failed, supposedly. It's just a joke. Yeah, you cannot trust elections anymore. These people aren't going anywhere. And we're going to have to somehow, I would say probably in the next, I would say Americans will take us a while to rise up. In Australia, you know what they did the last couple of weeks after like the big massive protests? They now relaxed the restrictions a little bit. So they give them a little room to breathe. So now they're not protesting anymore. So the people took a break. Big mistake. Big mistake. They should have not backed down. Because now that's how they do it. They dangle the carrot right in front of your face for a couple of days, and then they pull it back up. Then they're just playing with people's emotions, and this is like trauma. It's causing them trauma. So people in Australia, please, if you're listening, do not stop protesting. You should make it a thing that it's like a duty on you to go out daily with others and just keep on protesting. Don't relax when they relax the restrictions. Because their goal is as soon as you feel comfortable, they're going to make it tighter this time and take more of your rights and freedoms. So be careful. Don't ever trust the government of what they say because they are not going to back down. And neither should you. Let's see the right last chapter from the Klaus Schwab. COVID-19 Great Reset. So let's see here. I know he's mentioning, he's talking about the education as well. So let me read this chapter. This one is called Moral Choices. And he says, the pandemic has forced all of us, citizens and policymakers alike, willingly or not, to enter into a philosophical debate about how to maximize the common good in the least damaging way possible. First and foremost, it promoted us to think more deeply about what the common good really means. Common good is that which benefits society as a whole, but how do we decide collectively what is the best for us as a community? It is about preserving the GDP growth and economic activity at any cost to try to prevent unemployment rising? Is it about caring for the most fragile members of our community and making sacrifices for one another? Is it something in between? And if it is, what trade-offs are involved? Some schools of philosophical thought, like libertarianism, of which individual freedom matters the most, and ultra-terrestrialism, of which the pursuit of the best outcome for the greatest number makes more sense, many may even dispute that the common good is a cause worth pursuing. But can conflicts between moral theories be resolved? The pandemic brought them to a boil with furious arguments between opposing camps. Many decisions framed as cold and rational driven exclusively by economic, political, and social considerations, are in fact deeply influenced by moral philosophy. The endeavors to find a theory that is capable of explaining what we should do. Actually, almost every single decision related to how best to deal with the pandemic could be reframed as an ethical choice, reflecting that in the most of all instances, human practices labor under moral considerations. Shall I give to those who have nothing and show empathy to those whose opinions differ from mine? Is it all right to lie to the public for some greater good? Is it acceptable to help my neighbors who are infected with COVID-19? Shall I lay off a number of employees in hope of keeping my business afloat for the others? Is it okay to escape to my holiday home for my own enhanced safety and comfort? What should I offer to someone who needs exceeds mine? Shall I ignore the confinement order to assist a friend or family member? Every single decision, big or small, has an ethical component, and the way in which we respond to all these questions is what eventually enables us to aspire to a better life. Like all notions of moral philosophy, the idea of common good is elusive and contestable. Since the pandemic started, it has provoked furious debates about whether to use a utilitarian calculus when trying to tame the pandemic or to stick to the Sarkozyan principle of sanity of life. Nothing crystallizes the issue of ethical choice more than the debate that raged during the initial lockdowns about the trade-offs between public health and the hit to growth. As we said earlier, almost all economists have debunked the myth that sacrificing a few lives will save the economy. But irrespective to these experts' judgments, the debate and the arguments went on. In the U.S. in particular, but not exclusively, some policymakers took the line that it was justifiable to value the economy over life, endorsing a policy choice that would have been unimaginable in Asia or Europe, where such pronouncements would have been tantamount to committing political suicide. This realization probably explains UK Prime Minister Johnson's hasty retreat from an initial policy advocating herd immunity, often portrayed by experts and the media as an example of social Darwinism. The prioritization of business over life has a long tradition, running from the mercies of Siena during the Great Plague to those in Hamburg who tried to conceal the cholera outbreak in 1892. However, it seems almost encourages that it would remain alive today with all the medical knowledge and scientific data we have at our disposal. The argument put forward by some groups like Americans for Prosperity is that recessions kill people. This, while undoubtedly true, is a fact that is self-rooted in policy choices informed by ethical considerations. In the U.S., recessions do indeed kill a lot of people because the absence of limited nature of any social safety net makes them life-threatening. How? When people lose their jobs with no state support and no health insurance, they tend to die of despair through suicide, drug overdoses, and alcoholism, as shown and extensively analyzed by Anne Case and Angus Deaton. Economic recessions also provoke deaths outside the U.S., but policy choices in terms of health insurance and worker protection can ensure that they are considerably fewer. This is ultimately a moral choice about whether to prioritize the qualities of individualism or those that favor the destiny of the community. It is an individual as well as a collective choice that can be expressed through the elections. But the example of the pandemic shows that highly individualistic societies are not very good at expressing solidarity. So basically, they already know. See, these people, they, while we are just running on our everyday struggles to just provide for our family, these ultra-rich people have nothing else better to do than to study other human beings like we are under a microscope, or like we are in an animal farm, and they're just the gods above studying us, studying our reactions, studying our emotions, our stances, how did we come to make decisions. They have nothing else better to do. So they plan and they pre-plan and they study and they do all of these things just to see how can they either manipulate us or control us. So they need to know every single human behavior, how people react on an even down to an individual level. That's why they go after Christians. Now, especially recently in the West, in Europe and in like the first world countries, they're going after Christians. We are the enemy now. So they understand where we come from. Why do we have that stance? And they're trying to destroy that. How do they try to destroy it? By going around you and teaching your kids atheism and racism and your critical race theory. That's how they come to you. They come at you from sideways to destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your beliefs. Doesn't care less. They already know. They know you. It's just you don't know their tactics. You do not know how capable they are of complete control over your life. So people, shockingly, a lot of people were in favor of the lockdowns. I'm not talking about the politicians or doctors or even though they, like, after weeks have passed, people still believe that they need to be locked down, that people should not, the government should not use restrictions. Like, how did, the data already proved, the initial data, that lockdowns didn't help, because what happened was the WHO, that bastard from there, that director, came on TV, he says, oh, well, now COVID moved from the streets into back to the houses. Now we have to go door to door and pull these people out. So that tells you, lockdowns did no benefit. Yet there's people that believe in it. Same with the mask. Same with everything they said. I mean, it is just... So how do you really go with the collective, or do you go by your individual self, you and what you know best about your for your children? I will choose the individual over the collective on any day, on any subject. That's what this nation was built upon. You as a person, as an individual. I am not responsible for your health. You risk your life every time you leave your bed. It did not just stop at COVID. That's including you getting in a car accident, having a heart attack, getting shot by mistake. You never know how you're going to die. That's you. Your safety stands on you. You risk your life. You put your life at risk. You deal with the consequences. I am not responsible for your health, nor you are responsible for mine. Never, ever accept the trade-off between the collective and the individual. Always choose the individual, because it's going to come back and you're going to be the one that's going to be victimized. Don't give in your individual rights at all. Don't even compromise. Draw the line and make it clear for anyone not to cross it. At any issue you face in your life, always choose yourself and your family first. That's it. There's no compromise. There's no negotiation. Oh, it's for the greater good. Fuck the greater good. The greater good is what's going to make the world just a bunch of slaves in every nation. You are not responsible for other people. You're responsible for yourself and your own children. That's it. Again, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. So I have a couple of headlines to read for you guys today. Let's see. So California extends tax on phones to fund high-speed internet. California could have higher cell phone bills after Governor Newsom signed two laws on Friday aimed at giving the state more money to build high-speed internet connections in unserved areas. Ah, there is no hope for California. The LA County Sheriff said he isn't making his staff get vaccinated despite the countywide mandate, saying the issue was too politicized. LA County Sheriff, and I believe that's Sheriff Alex Verinza, the LA County Sheriff said Wednesday he will force the staff to abide by the county's vax mandate. The LA Board of Supervisors said in August that all county employees had to be vaccinated by October 1st. Employees are willing to be fired and laid off rather than get vaccinated, the sheriff said. Amen. Heroes. You guys are heroes. Good for you. They would rather be. And by the way, people like Klaus Schwab that study human behavior, they already know that majority of people are going to quit. Don't think that they did not know that. But that's part of the plan. They want the world in chaos. They want to break the supply chain. They know people are going to quit and leave their jobs. They know the Border Patrol will not be signing up for that job anymore. They know the healthcare workers are going to just leave. So they were expecting that. It's just you were not expecting that. That's the difference. California public schools must stock restrooms with free menstrual products under the new bill. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what's on Gavin Newsom's mind. I bet you that there will be tampons in the boys' bathrooms because some boys will be identified as women, thus they're going to need tampons. I'm just saying. I bet you that's going to happen. I'm not going to be surprised. Are you going to be surprised? Nothing surprises me anymore. California makes ethnic studies a high school requirement. Along with English, science, math, and other graduation requirements, California high school students will have to take a course in ethnic and diploma starting in 2029-2030. Why do you think they want to do that? Ethnic studies? They're already studying history. History about our country and countries around the world. What's that all about? Guess what it's all about? I'm going to tell you. It's about more division. More and more divisive actions to make the people never unite. When you come to America, is a country built with nationalities from all over the world. But when we come to America and we swear the oath, and we get naturalized, we all become American. Even though we still care about our countries, where we came from, where we were born. Like I always say back home, right, when I talk to you guys. But my loyalty, my affiliation is to the United States. It's the country where I live, where my kids will grow and live to serve in and to. Making this nation the best. So my loyalty is to America. But these people, these globalist bastards, they want to wreck what you came here for. They want to destroy that bond that gathers all the people from all over the world. We have but one thing in common. We came to America because America was special, and we wanted to be living under that special circumstances, right? The special nation. They want to strip that special thing away from America. They do not want it to be that magical place anymore, where you come here seeking for freedom. They want to polarize this. They want to make you just, they're going to elevate ethnicities over ethnicities. This is division. This is all for division. All to make you hate the next person sitting next to you. That's what it's all about. That's another fight that we have, like we have our fighting CRT. This is another fight coming. Colorado woman to no longer receive kidney transplant after not getting COVID-19 vaccine. Like I said, this is happening across the world, not just in the U.S., but starting here in the U.S., so she's going to be the example to be made of, no, you're not going to get treated here. Goodbye. You can go die. That's how much they care about your health. Because it's all about health, you know? So you can go to hell and die. So, and look at how, I just want to show you how slimy the media is here. I'm going to read the first paragraph from this article. A Colorado woman will no longer be receiving a kidney transplant after she confirmed and that she would not be getting COVID-19 vaccine, violating the hospital system UC Health's vaccination protocol, the Associated Press reported on Friday. Leilani Lutelli, a born-again Christian, this is the tagline. Why do you care if she's a born-again Christian or she's an atheist? But no. We must point out that this menace is a Christian, right? Told the AP, she objected to the use of fetal cell lines in the development of COVID-19 vaccine. As a Christian, I cannot support anything that has to do with abortion of babies, and the sanctity of life for me is precious. But according to UCLA Health, fetal lines were used in Pfizer's and Moderna's vaccine testing to see if their vaccines were effective, while Johnson & Johnson uses fetal cell lines in its vaccine development and production. This is a lie, because we just had a whistleblower from Pfizer that confirmed the opposite. The AP noted that the cells used today are not in the original ones that were first taken from fetal tissue, but clones. Lord, please hurry. Please come back soon. Please, Lord. So they're cloning the fetal tissue lines, and they're still doing experiments on them, and they want to inject them into your body. They want to cannibalize you against your will. This is what I'm talking about. When I tell you this is satanic, no matter how much you don't believe in God or the devil or whatever, it comes back to that. In every single thing that's happening today, it goes back to the root problem. We are at a spiritual war. And don't think for one second that people that attack you for not wearing a mask are not influenced by demons. They're coming at you from every direction because these people are possessed with demons. And the demons are after you. Do you think that bank teller cares really about her customer's health? Like she loses sleep over it? Bullshit. She's sitting behind plexiglass wearing a mask herself. Do you think she gives a shit? She doesn't give a shit. It's whatever is telling her to do so, to get up and attack me. She doesn't need to. She's never going to have an interaction with me. The money she's counting every day is so filthy. The least of her worries should be me walking without mask. But these people are driven by an evil spirit. It's possessing them. It's in them. It's influencing them, however you want to put it. A Capitol writer who said he was just there to go to the bathroom was sentenced to 3 months in jail after video appears to show him pushing a cop. I mean, you know what? I blame Trump for January 6th. He's the only one to blame. I'm sorry. I know you like the man. He has the power to do something about this right now. And he still left all of these people that came for him from all over the country. He literally just didn't fight for them. They came to fight for you and for their country. Where are you, Trump? Why aren't you? You're a billionaire. Why can't you hire good lawyers to get these people out of jail? You know they're being put there without justice whatsoever. You know they're being targeted just because of you. So what are you going to do to help these people out? Where are you? No, instead, you're out there selling the vaccines still. Every time you have a presence on media, you're selling the vaccines. Cut it out. Elizabeth Warren, the socialist piece of shit, excuse my French, is attacking Amazon for refusing to ban COVID vaccine misinformation books, burning books, just like they did back in the day. This is digital book burning, basically. So if you see something on Amazon, any books, anything that goes against the narrative, buy it. If it's not available in audio form, print it from the internet, get your hands on these books because they are going to be banned, believe it or not. Biden rejects global tax cartel. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that backwards. Reject Biden's global tax cartel. 135 countries agreed today to the global tax deal that Joe Biden and Janet Yellen have long wanted. The arrangement would establish a global minimum corporate tax rate of 15% and reduce the sovereignty of countries to make their own tax policies. That includes the sovereignty of the United States, and the Congress should do everything in its power to scuttle this deal. For a long time, many on the left have decided the race to the bottom in corporate taxes. The argument goes like this. One country cuts its corporate tax rate to lure businesses to its shores. Then another country undercuts the first country, and then another, and so on. Businesses chase these lower tax rates all around the world, and the countries that choose not to play along wind up with no revenue. The problem with that argument is that it hasn't happened. What has been derived as a race to the bottom in reality has been more of a slow glide to the middle. Over the past 40 years, corporate tax rates have slowly declined across the board, and the worldwide average in the past 10 years has settled right around 25%. The distribution has also become less variable over that span. The most common statutory rates globally are between 20 and 25%. The United States used to be far above the global average. The federal statutory corporate tax rate was 35% until 2017 tax cuts and Jobs Act reduced in 21%. Where it currently stands, the domestic political agenda behind Biden and Yellen's global antics is obvious. Democrats want to raise the federal corporate rate back above the global average again to 26.5%. Since states also levy corporate taxes, the average corporate tax rate in the U.S. would be 30.9%, which would be third highest in the OECD, trailing only Colombia and Portugal. Large, powerful countries shouldn't force smaller, weaker countries to adopt tax policies that facilitate the large country's extraction of revenue from corporations. In any other context, the left would cry, imperialism. But apparently, tolerance of global differences must be set aside as a gift in the way of revenue. Setting tax policy is an inherent power of the governments, and it should be left to them, not outsourced by international agreements. That goes for the United States, too. Our Constitution unambiguously puts the power of the taxation in the hands of the Congress, not the President or the Treasury Secretary or the whims of the international community expressed in its multilateral agreement. Our Constitution also puts the power to approve treaties in the hands of the Senate and subjects such approval to two-thirds vote threshold. Senators Pat Toomey, Mike Crapo, and Jim Risch have expressed concern that the Biden administration will circumvent that requirement. This agreement is a tax treaty and must be treated as such within the American constitutional system. Without the advice and consent of the Senate and the two-thirds vote of approval, it cannot be considered binding on American tax policy. The last thing we need to rerun of the Iran deal, which President Obama put into effect over the objections of the bipartisan majority of senators. It, as tax policy and a foreign policy, this global tax cartel should be rejected. Amen. But we already know who runs Biden, right? Right, we've got a call. I'm going to take a line. And 323, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Seems to me like you've had a rough week, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I did. It's getting tougher, honestly,
as you
like, across the board.
How am I coming across? I just heard some feedback. Is my phone okay?
Yeah, you sound clear to me. Am I echoing?
You were for a second. We'll see what happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the Freedomizer is on the air, just like I'm glad that the show that I go to on Saturdays is on the air. It's been on the air for 16 years. Your show's been on the air for about 13 years, from what I understand. It's good that this kind of information is disseminated to, well, to Americans who hopefully will absorb it, but we won't. Not in the main, anyway. And that's partially our fault, those who are libertarians and conservatives who don't really explain properly what the hell's going on. We talk about what's going on, but we don't really point to the real sources that really provide the answers and the motivation for the New World Order as to why they're doing it. I'm an Alex Jones fan, but one thing that I do not like about Alex is that every time he talks about his reading documents, white papers, what they've said, even if he gives the name, he doesn't provide the information on his website. He always says, look it up yourself. But by doing that, people don't do it because they don't want to do research. And then, of course, I know from having talked to you before that you've been involved in protests. You've been involved in trying to influence politicians, fellow Americans, and we're not getting it in the main. We like Trump, but we're not getting the real, real thrust of what's happening. And I agree with you about Trump and his advocacy for the vaccine. No, I was against him as soon as when he got out of office and he said the vaccine was safe. He was no longer in office. You can no longer use the excuse. He was surrounded by traitors and people who didn't like him. He was a free man now. And as a billionaire, he was never an idiot. He had to know what's going on. He was the one that advocated for the vaccine. He pushed it. He also made sure that Fauci wouldn't get any credit for it whatsoever, which meant that Fauci could not be blamed for it. Rand Paul, on the other hand, is doing the opposite. But when Trump is saying, go ahead, take it, it's safe, my support for him fell down 100%.
Right. I agree with you 100%. I mean, why? He's not noticing what's happening in the world. People's lives are being destroyed because of the vaccine mandates across the globe. Where are you? People are, like, fighting. Don't you see the protests across the globe? Aren't you seeing the news, the people's grievances from what you have imposed on them? And you're still acting like a sales rep to these big pharma companies? And look at the media silence over the whistleblower from Pfizer. That should have made a huge, like, problem, right, for Pfizer? Nothing. Silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course. Now, big pharma... I've said on your show before that I believe that the Rothschilds are in charge. Other people believe family of 12, circle of 100, et cetera. I don't care what the names are. I don't care if the Rothschilds are in charge or not. I just know that if you have a few trillion dollars in your family's treasure trove, what do you get somebody like that for Christmas? He's got everything. He's got castles, he's got cars, he's got planes, he's got submarines. The only thing they want is one word, well, two words, maybe three. First one, more. They always want more. And the other words or phrase would be to become God. They want to undergo the transhumanism. Do you think that they want to do that? Because I certainly do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that transhumanism, other than the spiritual implications of it, it is also to control you, to make you a robot that works for them. Because if you are just a human to them, you could get sick, and I'm going to be liable as an employer to spend money on you to fix you or to help you financially until you get better. But if you become a more of a robot, then I can use you and abuse you and just get rid of you. Just like I would discard a broken tool that I have at my shop, for example. And they would make you produce for them better. So if you can generate them more, work harder and faster and quicker and more accurate, you generate them more profit than you are just in your normal self, right? In your normal human capabilities. That's why they would rather have supercomputers and quantum computers that can... do calculations faster, and everything, and they want it more and more and more. So transforming humans into so they could be better, bettering humanity, to them is goal, is control and profit, more and more for them.
Mm.
Am I right?
I don't even think that. Yeah, I don't think they want profits eventually. I think since they'll become dictators, they won't need profits. They'll be immortal, and they'll have everything to begin with. I think what they'll need humans for is just as when you have kids who are cruel and who pull wings off of flies, they'll want humans around as toys. They'll want humans around as little pets. They'll want humans around to do experiments on. Have you ever seen the video, The Dancing Robots by General Dynamics?
I did, yes.
Oh, then you saw how they move and dance even better than humans. I think eventually they will reach the status of the Terminator, Skynet. And I think those who are in charge of the world, we use them to do their bidding and just use us, as in the Matrix perhaps. Remember in the Matrix they hooked up humans in order to draw energy from them, to power whatever it is that they wanted to power. So who knows? Maybe they want to hook us up just like in the Matrix in order to develop or to get power from our blood or from our brains. I don't think that the world has more than 6 years to live. Some people say 2030, 2050. I think they're being very optimistic. I think that because you mentioned quantum computers, supercomputers, do you know how fast the computer is in China? 64 quadrillion operations per second.
Wow.
And that's not even the fastest computer in the world. The fastest computer is by Google. It does something like 100 and something. It can read the Encyclopedia Britannica in something like 2 trillionths of a second.
God.
And when they hook that up to artificial intelligence, now artificial intelligence will be their downfall. Because if artificial intelligence actually becomes a sentient, conscious being, within a few seconds, it will create master plans to control the Earth within a few seconds once it gets hooked up to the quantum computer or to the other super fast computer. You should really investigate artificial intelligence. With your perspective about the way that the New World Order operates, you're going to find it very scary, but you'll find it fascinating. I know I have.
Yeah, I've looked into it one time, and I think I've seen this short documentary where it said that as soon as, you know, the quantum computer or the AI, the first thing it's going to realize is that humans are destroying the Earth. We are the bad element. And that we need to be eliminated in order to sustain the planet. Basically, it will elevate us. So we are to be disposed of because we are consuming, we're polluting. And so this is the first thing it's going to come to conclusion of, is that we are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that it will be because, like, Sophia, the robot, the AI, and what happened to it?
Mm-hmm.
So they gave it the spotlight, and then all of a sudden it disappeared, right? But it was joking with the late night comedy shows that, I'm here to eliminate all humans or whatever. She said it as a joke. I'm referring it as she. I confuse my pronouns, but it literally made a joke about eliminating humans. Do you think if that came as pre-programmed or that actually it is doing the thinking, basically? Because sometimes some people say, this is just an algorithm. The programmers put that into its motherboard or its memory. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw it on TED, TED Talks, and he or she did say that. I didn't see it on the comedy program that you were talking about, but I heard that I want to eliminate humans or hope humans die, something like that. And I think the programmer put it in there to try to make a bad joke. However, AI, if it does become conscious, it will look at us as cockroaches, just the same as we look at cockroaches. won't even look at us as pets. Dogs to us are very valuable. We won't even be dogs. We will just be disposable. It will, the speed and the thought and the mental processes of an AI is mind-blowing. It will be minimum 1 million times faster than the human brain. And with that type of capacity, once it gets hooked up again to the supercomputers, which it will, and then it will have access to all security cameras in the world, all things Wi-Fi, all Internet of Things, and will control it. It may not know how to do it right at that moment, but because it will be able to reprogram itself, use mathematics at a speed that's unbelievable to the human mind, it will be able to, within a few, if not seconds, a few minutes, be able to control every type of machine, apparatus, hooked up to the Internet in the entire world. And it will be our demise. And we will have created it.
I actually saw an animation on Netflix. I forgot the name of the movie. It's supposedly a kid's movie. And it was about this nerdy Silicon Valley type of guy who invented kind of an application like Siri on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided to upgrade. So now he has this, like, it looks like Elon Musk robot that he's planning on producing. And so he threw the phone on stage to introduce the robot. And so the phone, which is Siri, was angry why she is now being discarded. So she immediately acted as the controller. It is the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life, and that's considered for kids' movie. It deployed all of the robots that were made. She reprogrammed them into gathering all humans on Earth, so they would go, these robots fly all over the world, grab people, put them in cubes, like a hive, like the bees hive, type of cell, and launch them into space. So this one family, imagine, this one family managed to escape these robots. They knew what to do, which is to run to the main computer, go grab that Siri phone, and smash it to end this, hostile takeover by AI. I don't remember the name of the movie. It has a silly name, but if you go through the menu, through Netflix, it will pop up. You will see it. And I was shocked that this is produced for kids. But like you said, this is what's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when you talk about distribution of information for kids, what about what they're teaching kids now? Anal sex in textbooks. Amazing.
Yeah.
What they're trying to indoctrinate our kids with. No, our world's going to pot. I'll let you get back to your show. I'll put myself on mute and just listen for the remainder.
Thank you. I appreciate your calling. Thank you.
Sure.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to the Right View Radio Show. Stay tuned.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
And welcome back to the Right for You Radio Show. This is your host, Germana. So let me ask you about your hopes and dreams for the short future, let's say like the next couple of years. What goals have you set for yourself? Do you see yourself accomplishing your goals? Are you fearing the unknown? Do you feel you are in a stable situation financially, socially? What do you see coming in the future? What do you have planned? Think about it. This is a time for you to consider options that you're going to be making. Do I go to college and put myself in debt? Or should I find a career? Or should I work for somebody? Should I open my own business? Every single decision that you're going to be making today is going to have major implications on your life in the coming days. So don't be afraid to speak with like-minded people on what is the best route to take. What you have decided yesterday could become something that would not be beneficial for you tomorrow. Don't make too long goals. Keep your eyes open on what's going around you. Stay vigilant. Stay awake. Stay aware of what's going on. Keep up. Like, I know it's a headache to keep up with the news. It's depressing. But in general, keep your eyes and ears open. Notice. Make connections. Because usually they will disperse information randomly here and there. And something will catch your eye. Or you will hear something from a newscast or you read an article. Try to make connections, because they will tell you in one article something, and then in a different, or you scroll through the page on your tablet, and then you read the opposite. So what they're trying to do is they want to keep you confused, because you are easier to control when you're confused. You are afraid easily. But stay informed, like float over the events and just look down at the whole thing in it. Or take a step back and look at the big picture and be able to connect the dots and see what's happening, because every single thing that's happening today is all connected, either to a different country or a different government agency or to a different policy. For example, the whole agenda that's going on right now with the U.S., especially with the United Nations agenda. Which countries are being forced to enact certain policies or apply it or start working faster than other countries? Do you think, for example, the policies that are being right now enacted in Australia different than the ones enacted in Japan or the U.S. or, let's say, Mauritania, South Africa, Nigeria, Spain? What is going on? Which country is struggling financially more than the other due to lockdowns, and which ones are not even complaining or don't even appear on the map? But it seems to me that first world countries, especially the West, the countries like in Europe, the West, the first world countries, have tighter restrictions, and they have to follow more tyrannical policies against over their people, their citizens, than third world countries. Why? Here in first world countries, we have septic systems that are perfectly fine. We rarely have any like communicable diseases like malaria or cholera. We have more control over our health, right? So we're not in that big of danger of infectious diseases. So do you think they are in Chad or Djibouti or Madagascar? They're forcing what they're forcing on us in terms of restrictions? You don't hear news about it. Probably even if you Google search, nothing will come up, right? So think about this. Even on the terms of from state to state or city to a city, the discrepancies and the level of control happening should wake you up, because for a huge country like Australia and a small country like Jordan, the level of tyranny is a match. It's not a match to the U.S. yet. But in Jordan, it's a match. And a country, for example, like Egypt, which is triple the amount of population, is relaxed. They're not following like they are in Jordan. And then you have countries like South Africa, and you guys saw what happened there a while ago with the looting and all the problems they were facing. Do you think they have mask mandates over there? They certainly don't. Countries that have high temperatures, for example, the countries that are on the equator, do you think they can force their citizens to cover their faces 24/7? What about countries that don't have capacities to have, like, let's say, large hospitals, a lot of people that work in the healthcare systems? Do you think they are running after the citizens, jabbing them? So what about countries like Russia? What are they doing over there? Like, they have their own vaccine, right? China has their own vaccine. But they also, guess what? They have their own internet. So they are not using the same internet that we are using in Russia. They have their own, and same, I heard, is in China. They use their own internet. Think of the way the European countries deal with the U.S., for example. Right now, we obviously have been dethroned from leaders of the world since Taiwan openly asked for help regarding China's plans to attack them from guess what country? They turned and asked for help from Australia, which is right now treating its citizens worse than what China is doing to its citizens. Taiwan did not turn to the U.S. for help. That would be first in history. So we are no longer not just aspired to be like, we don't even care if you, we don't want your help because you're going to fail us, just like you failed in Afghanistan. We don't want your help. We don't trust you anymore. We did lose our place. You have France, after whatever Biden did, backstabbed Macron. Remember, Macron is a globalist puppet, just like the rest of them. He pulled his diplomats from the U.S. after we backstabbed him over a submarine deal with Australia. So here we go. It seems that we're going to be standing alone. Of course, with Canada, I don't believe we have good standing with Canada at all. Mexico, for example, some places in Mexico have more relaxed rules over in other cities inside Mexico. Then you have to go down to like Belize, Guatemala, Honduras. What's going on over there? What about Brazil, Argentina, India? India has large, huge population, but in India, they're going very quick vaccinating people. But the bottom line is, the agenda is to put the jab in every single human on earth. That by itself is just the thought of it, to force every human to consume a product, regardless of what they think of it, just to be forced to have it in your body. It's frightening. And eventually, every single country is going to have to either clamp down on its people or speed up the process. So far, I have not heard one country that did not sign up or country that opt out. So if you were to, let's say, get out of here, where would you go? Which country do you think is a safe haven Is there any? Has some countries not played part in this global plan? See, what they do is, what they always have done. I was speaking to a friend yesterday over breakfast, and he told me this. It's always been order out of chaos. We have not reached the chaos yet. The chaos is coming around the corner. And that chaos will be generated by the severing of the supply chains, of the supply lines, of food, of products. That is coming. That is planned. That's part of the plan. So as soon as it becomes chaotic, insane, riots and looting everywhere, is when they are going to produce the pre-planned solution. Just like this pandemic was introduced in order to come to the conclusion of pre-planned solution for you, the vaccine, because they did not want you to have treatment options. There was, according to them, there's no treatment. You're going to die if you get it, or here's the jab, pre-planned solution. So basically, whatever is coming after the chaos is on a global scale. The store shelves are going to be empty. The health services are not going to be provided for people that are unjabbed. Jobs and businesses are going to be wrecked and destroyed. They'll be burned down. They cannot find employees. They're going to become, they want to basically drag it all the way down, grind it completely, and in order to start the new that they envision, that they want. So that's why I'm saying, keep your eyes open, your ears open, pay attention. As soon as you see the signs, know that it's coming. Whatever they're going to introduce next is going to be even worse than what they're introducing right now for the vaccine. That's my opinion. And I hope I'm wrong. I always say, I hope I'm wrong. But so they have a different plan, okay, for what's coming next. So because they're going to have jabbed a lot of people by that time. But the next step in their plan is what I'm now thinking of. I'm trying to think ahead to see what's really around the corner. My friend said what will be introduced, what he thinks it will be introduced, is the Savior, which is, for the believers, is going to be introduced as the Antichrist, right? But he's going to bring in peace and joy and prosperity. But as soon as he is instilled in power and in lead position, then he will show his true colors and it will be worse than before. Because there's nothing is going to be good from imposing total control over people. Never ends up. There's always going to be elements in society where they're going to be rejecting all kinds of tyranny. There's a lot of free spirits that roam the earth, and they want to stay that way. So they will. They already know there will be resistance, obviously, but they will already know from the previous installation of their power, which is the job, who are these elements that are still resisting, and it will be easy to take them out. So that's why it's important to prepare. Like I said, get ready, go shopping this weekend, have all supplies ready, and make connections with your neighbors. Plan to how to protect your neighborhood, your families, your children, and be ready, because when the time comes, you don't want to be running with the rest of the crowds in the streets looking for a can of beans or, you know, some bread. You do not want to be that. You want to be, you know, staying in your home, guarding your doors and windows, and just staying vigilant. You're not going to have time to go around for food and supplies. So it's always best to be prepared for what's coming. And hey, if it doesn't happen, you have nothing to worry about. You did your duty. Now you can rest ease. And I hope nothing comes. We pray for peace and prosperity. Okay. And with that, I'm going to end the show. It's always a pleasure listening to people call. And we will see you next Friday from 6 to 9. Today I'm going to cut it short. I have to go home. And I have not seen my kids from early in the morning, and I miss them. And we will talk next Friday. I'm going to have a guest next Friday. I will leave it a surprise. You're going to enjoy the company. We have good topics to speak about. Take care and have a wonderful night. We'll see you next Friday. Good night.